We've been talking about the camp and Camp Living Water that Larry's been involved with, and Merlise and Ben and a few people from here, but people from all over, I think all over. There's lots of different churches support that. And it's a camp that is dedicated for people who are Native children particularly, and it's a wonderful ministry. And God did some great things there this summer, and you don't need me to tell you. I think Larry's going to tell us about that. So Larry, we welcome you once again as a sort of a son of our congregation. That's the way we look at you. Give me the one person that Lorraine loves more than me is you.
Oh, good. I always appreciate the worship when I come here. I just really enjoy the worship, and so often I'm here when I really need the refreshing, so it's good to just come and sit back and enjoy the worship and receive. Really do want to thank you all for praying for Camp Living Water and for your support for that. We really do rely upon the prayers of God's people to just carry us through and to help us as we go along, and God really is amazing. We, there's that old saying, well, it's not that old, but it's fairly new, but anyway, it says, how does it go? We don't believe in miracles, we rely on them every day. And that's basically what we have to do at camp, just to have God bring in the food and bring in the people to help and the different things that go on, and we're so thankful that he did that. Of course, we started in BC. Ben came over to BC and joined us over there, and we had some good camps over there. And then we moved over here to Alberta. And here in Alberta, we had lots and lots of kids. Last year, we were kind of a little discouraged because we were getting less kids. All the camps were a little bit smaller. And so we were really praying about that and asking God to give us some direction and asking God to pray quite a bit for the people who help us gather the kids together, because they're very important. People who are helping us on the reserves, they have to get the word out. They have to gather the kids. And so this year we doubled our teen camp. We ended up with 75 teens, and we were quite overwhelmed at first when they came, but the Lord just, we've seen that all summer. All the campers that God has sent have been so hungry for God. It's just been so amazing, and if anything touches my heart or blesses us, it's to see these kids coming, and they really, really do want Jesus. They really do want to be in chapel, they want to sing, they want to receive prayer, and they want to just be ministered to, and that's just an awesome thing. And so we really found that with teen camp. None of the kids that I can remember, of the 75 kids, none of them came to cause trouble. Amazing. Sometimes teenagers come to just cause trouble, but they didn't. They came to receive, they came to enjoy, and it just makes ministering to them that much easier. And I would say that with the kids camps, the same thing. We were at capacity for the first 2 weeks. Then we were 50 over capacity the third week and 50 under the fourth week. So basically we ran at capacity the whole time. And that was great. The 150 week was, we just, all of a sudden we found out we were having all these kids coming. And we just sensed right away that God said, I'm going to make this a really special week. This is going to be a week when I do something special. And he sure did. They were more hungry than any of them, and they just wanted to be in chapel. They wanted to, the prayer times went on to 12:30 in the morning at night. Just kids wanting to be there and receive from Jesus. So that's exciting, and God sent us really good counselors, really good staff, that their hearts were just to spend time with the kids and pray and minister and just to touch their lives. I was just thinking this morning, one of the verses that God gave us this year is in 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. And the grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which by the gospel was preached to you. You know, verse 24 is kind of our experience. All flesh is glass. Everything is always fading away. Everything is breaking down. You know, nothing lasts forever is kind of a good saying that we always are talking about when we talk about our cars or, you know, things that we always have to throw away. And so our experience is everything only lasts for a little while. And so that tends to be our thoughts. That we bring that even into our life with Christ. We start to think, well, you know, yeah, you know, we did this, but it's all going to fade away. It's not going to happen. And especially when you minister to kids, you think, oh, well, you know, they were excited this week, but it's all going to fade away. It's nothing going to happen. And I really found that I had to battle that quite a bit this year. Sometimes I would be just look at one of the kids, and I would just be just like this negative vision would come to me, and I think, oh, you know, they're just such precious kids. But it's like I was seeing them 10 years down the road on the street, on drugs, you know, just their lives destroyed. And it just, you know, it's hard to see that vision. But I felt the Lord say, no, you got to reject that vision. You got to keep rejecting that vision. You got to keep believing. You got to have a vision, not of what their parents are or what you see could happen and how their lives could be destroyed as they become teenagers. But you got to keep a vision of what God can do in their life to change them. So it's the power of God's word. It says here that God's word endures forever. This is the word of the gospel that we preach. And it's they're born again of incorruptible seed. What a powerful thought. The seed that we sow is incorruptible. So one of the greatest things that encourage me, one of the greatest blessings that I have is to see kids that have been to camp for a number of years come back as our junior support staff or as junior counselors, as counselors. We just had so many this year, and the quality was a step up, a big step up. We started this program maybe 5-6 years ago specifically, and it was really tough because we had these guys, kids come back, but the counselors have more trouble with the JSSs and junior counselors than they had with their kids, and the counselors were just frustrated with this whole situation. But this year, I just saw a new maturity, new hunger. And just to see them want to grow. You know? And they came back with that heart that they were looking at the kids and seeing them, seeing their brokenness, seeing what they'd gone through and wanting to reach these kids and touch them. So that was just a beautiful thing. And I was thinking about, you know, we had 100 kids from Sav Lake, and I was just thinking about this one reserve. You think about that, 100 children. I don't know how many kids, school-age kids, there would be in Sav Lake, maybe 300, 500. So you think of 100 of them coming and getting the, you know, the clear word of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their heart. And not always the same kids come every year. And so you think of the influence that that's having on a community. If we believe that we believe in the gospel, we believe in the power of God's word, and we believe this word's getting put in, sown into their heart, and they're going back year after year with this in their life. What can God do in a community like that? How important is that? Just think in Red Deer, you know, what would happen if, say, 25% of all the kids in Red Deer every year we're getting the gospel powerfully put into our life. How would that affect this city? And it's not happening in Red Deer, I don't think. Right? So I believe that God has stationed Camp Leewater in a position to really, really influence and to see. And we were up at a church in Swan Hills a week ago, and the pastor just kind of spoke prophetically over us, and it was really, really encouraging. He just said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I hear the sound of revival. I hear the sound of Ezekiel's bones coming together, you know. And God is raising up an army. Amen. And that God is going to really bless these things. Amen. Yeah, I believe it. So I want to encourage you in your ministry here, and as you are part of Camp Living Water, that God's going to pour that blessing on you as well. But that we are just in a time when we have to hear the sound. We listen to the sound, and maybe that sound is there, but we don't really know really what that sound means. But God is working. God is at work.
Amen.
And that we can trust Him, and that there is revival. There is a working of God's Spirit in the earth.
And Satan is not winning.
That's right.
One of the sayings we picked up this year is that God has not fallen off his throne.
That's right.
That's something we have to remind ourselves, you know, when we're in the struggle, when Satan's flexing his muscles, God has not fallen off his throne. He's always sitting there, and he will rule forever and ever. He rules in Canada. He rules in Red Deer. He rules in your life. He is King and Lord.
Amen.
And just stand on that and believe that, and he is doing a work in these days. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
We both got tears in our eyes. I don't know what's going on today, but God, I thank you for Larry. I thank you for the ministry that you're building in him and with Camp Living Water, and for this encouraging report, God, that you have not fallen off your throne. Thank you, Jesus. You are the Lord of Lords. You're the King of Kings. You are completely in control in a world that's chaotic and out of control. But you are sovereign. You are the risen Christ, and there's such great hope. And I thank you for, I know I was just really encouraged by these words of Larry. And Lord, I pray that each of us would let that vision die when we see people and we think there's no hope for that person. That 10 years from now, they're just going to be a bum on the streets, God. Forgive our hearts, God. Forgive us for that lack of hope and that lack of faith. And I thank you for my brother. I pray that you will replenish him. I pray that your spirit will be upon him. I pray, God, that you will help him hear today the words of his father, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Lord, I thank you for the hard work, because it's hard work that Larry's been doing, that you've surrounded him with good leadership, good counselors, God. You've provided for him in every way. And we pray that you'll continue to do that, Lord. Replenish his spirit right now in Jesus' name, I pray. Give him a new vision, Lord, new vigor, a new zeal, a new passion, Lord, for you and for your kingdom. Until that day that you come, God, Jesus, when you return, we work hard until that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, that's good to hear, isn't it? That is, well, maybe it wasn't for you, but for me it was. That was message right for me. I need to be told that. I need to be reminded that, and, you know, there's hope. And we need to be a people of hope. If we're going to believe the power of God's Word, then we need to know that there's hope in God's Word. And we saw that last week when a number of people were baptized. I think there were like 15 people baptized. There's hope, you know. God changes lives. We don't have to be lost in that same old sin. Crystal, what was that verse that you read to me this morning? Have you got it with you? Look it up while I'm talking. I can kill time. And you know, there's hope. We have such hope. God is changing lives. And if that wasn't true, we should just all quit. Let's do something different. If there is no power in the Holy Spirit, if lives really can't be changed, then what we're doing is we're just playing a game here. And I don't want to play that game anymore. And I thank God that even though there's always examples of people who let us down, or people who let God down, or people who go back to the vomit, go back to the pits, there's still many examples of those who are determined by the power that God gives them, not their own determination, but by the power that God gives them, that people turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that lives are being changed. She read this to me or told me this on her way here this morning. I think God wants us all to hear this. Okay, now explain it, Pastor Crystal. You gotta stand up. That's right. Proclaim that hope. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Just a minute. Okay, Anna, go ahead. Stand up. Yeah. Yes. Yes, God. Thank you. That's right. Thank you. There we go. Mm-hmm. Yes, God. Yeah. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That's right. Good words, Ann. Can you share that story a little bit that you shared with me the other day? I know you're not ready for that, but do you mind? Well, it's too bad. How about if you stand up here? I think everyone needs to hear this, Conrad. I know that when you told me this last Saturday, that was a real encouragement. I am sorry that I'm throwing this at you, but I think God wants us to hear this. I'm going to get yelled at.
I guess it's not really yet.
It's on.
My testimony, you've got a testimony of what God can do, I guess. I hate speaking in public. I went up to Edmonton the other week for something with a job, and then I talked to my son the night before. He said he was going to his grandma's for a garage sale. So after I was done, I went out there. I don't go to my parents that often.
It's okay.
They come from my family, they're a lot like everyone else, you know, they had a lot of struggles. I was going up for this garage sale. Good thing. Funny, my mom's having a garage sale now. She never had one when I was growing up. Started thinking about it, you know. I realized it on the way home exactly why. I was an alcoholic addict from when I was pretty young. My youngest brother is a drug dealer. Last couple of years, you've seen a few of his friends get killed and found dead and stuff like that. My other brother, he's just an alcoholic dude or a drinker, and basically his biggest thing was he couldn't come under any authority at all. It was like grade 7 education. And I've come to realize she couldn't have a garage sale because no one would probably want it. It's a small town, no one wanted to come near that place. My dad was a drinker too. Anyway, I got there and probably spent maybe 2 hours in the last 8 years at my parents' place. And Linda would always say, how come we never take her money there? Well, even because I'm clean and sober and I go to church, I'm not going to drive 2 hours to visit for 15 minutes and then drive all the way back to right here. Well, I got there and there was like cars everywhere, you know, and it's like I had to park way down the street, and my daughter come running up to me and said, wow, you know, giving a hug, and my mom kind of met me at the edge and she couldn't believe I was actually there. And I was like, well, where's Jace, my son? Over there with Cameron. So I kind of find my way through these people. And there my two brothers are like sitting together with my son beside the house. And I was like, oh, wow, that's weird. And when I got up to them, I'm like, my son's like, here, you should read this. And it's like he had a devotion book. You know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, where's this? Well, it's my brother's devotion book he got from his men's group at his church. And it's like, oh, wow, okay. So then I read it and kind of start talking about it. And then this lady comes down there and she's like, oh, what church do you go to? I said, well, oh, I'm from Red Deer. She goes, oh, I used to live in Red Deer. I used to go to Livingstone. So I said, oh, yeah, that's good for you. And I go, she goes, where do you go? I go, well, I go to Potter's Hand. She goes, well, I used to go there too. It was like, you know, Elvin, and so it was like we had this great big conversation and everything. And then my other brother, he was kind of getting into a scripture battle with this lady, my youngest one. And I found out when he got clean and sober that he had been isolated and kind of read the Bible a couple of times. And then the lady, I was kind of wondering, like, well, how is she coming to scripture? And my mom is working with a program, it's called TIPS. It helps like parents who are struggling and stuff like that with crime, whatever situation they come to. But she's got a program and a group going with this pastor, Kevin, at a church there, helping these single mothers build up their self-esteem. And basically, I was like phoning Linda on the way home. I was like, I was crying, trying to tell her the story. You'd never believe it. She couldn't. Yeah, she phoned me a couple of times. She couldn't wonder why it was taking me so long to get home. You know, and that just, I had the scripture for her last week. It just shows you, like, you can't even think how much God can do. You know, I kept thinking on the way home as I could see a picture. This is when our life without the Lord.
Yeah.
And once Jesus kind of sucker punched my family, what it looks like now, it's like, and basically, oh, you don't have to really, didn't even do anything. Just started calling the Lord. And I also sat in the living room for an hour and a half with my two brothers and my dad laughing. And it's like watching TV, and it's like, this is in the same room where there's doors with stab marks in them, you know, in the bathroom door. Mm-hmm. Now we're sitting there laughing.
Glory.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Glory.
Thanks.
Thank you. Amen. So there's hope. There's great hope. And I know there's more of you that have your hands up, but, you know, I just want to get into the Word, and maybe there'll be time after, I don't know, but I guess if you don't hear anything else today, and it's a message I need to hear too, but it's, you know, don't give up. Don't give up on people. I think, you know, what Conrad, what you were saying to me the other day too, is, I mean, these are pretty unlikely people to turn to Jesus, whether it's the drugs or the alcohol or the fighting or, you know, all the stuff. And he was didn't want to be there. He didn't want to go back there again. He just felt like, you know, like this might be my family, but this is not my family. I can't be here. But look what God does, you know. Look what God does. Look at the lives that are changed. And, you know, we've been learning that lately, that he changes the lives of the people that we think are the most unlikely to be changed. You know, the ones that we give up on are the ones that Jesus is just so ready to save. And that's a good news thing for, you know, for anyone who's here today who hasn't accepted Jesus. And you might think, well, I'm way out there. There's no way he's ever going to want to love me. There's no way that he'll ever want to forgive me. The truth is, he might be more ready to forgive you than you know. Because you think you're unlikely, but his grace is sufficient for all of us. Amen? So let's look at God's Word. I think that this is where God is leading us, and it's in Ephesians chapter 4 today. And it's really funny what you said, and Jill, what you spoke about yesterday. Jill was speaking sort of the same message. I don't know if you felt that either when Anna was speaking here, but a message about, you know, that yes, God is a God of love, and we hear a lot about love, and we need to hear about love, and we need to be reminded that God's a God of love, but he's also a judge, and he's also someone who will hold us accountable someday. And even though, as a church, we need to keep showing love to people, we need to keep reminding people there's second chances, there's a new beginning, God never is through with you, it's still also true that we need to have that message, like we heard last week, that we need to repent and believe. There needs to be repentance, and that we need to change our ways. And maybe we need to say that more clearly. We need to change, that you know, you need to change from your wicked ways. You need to turn. Real conversion is the turning to Jesus and not hanging on to that old life anymore. And it's interesting that, Anna, you brought that up today, and that, Jill, you were preaching about that yesterday, and I think it's in here as well. Let's read these words from Ephesians chapter 4. There's so much in here. You have to sort of start somewhere. Verse 25. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those who are in need." Wow. The wow was my part. I put that on there. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Amen?
Yes.
I'm thankful today that a number of the people who were baptized last Sunday are here today, because we need to continue to be in the Word of God. We need to continue to seek after Jesus. Jumping in the river isn't magic. It's the beginning of a life of discipleship. So I'm glad you're here. And I've been thinking all week about this idea of a foothold, that sometimes Satan gets a foothold in our lives. And that's what the passage talks about. He says there's a, you know, Satan is that kind of a conniving, evil, secretive, sneaky, and I won't, you know, whatever word you want to finish with that, but, you know, he wants to get a foothold, and it doesn't take much. If you just got a little lip on the rock, you know, you see some of these guys who are free climbers, and they're amazing what they do, and it's an incredibly dangerous thing that they do, but they just need a little crack in the rock, or just need a little tiny lip to just get their fingers on, and they can somehow pry themselves up and get leverage. And that's what Satan tries to do in our lives. He just wants something to get a hold of, something to get his evil claws into, and try to get a little bit of leverage into our lives. And I wanted the message today, I believe that God wants a message today to be really clear to all of us, that we ought not to give him that leverage. We cannot afford to allow the enemy to have that foothold in our lives. And we're going to talk about that this morning. I want to start just sort of in the context here today. I think the context of these words is really kind of interesting, that it's the context of anger. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. Let me just read it again. You should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. We are all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. And I think that's an important thing that we recognize right off the start. That foothold that the enemy sometimes has in our lives is often couched in the context of anger. It's because of the anger that's in us. And it's something to be thinking about this morning. You know, it's easy to get angry. It's sometimes there's people who live with that same anger for years and years and years. And here's the truth. The truth is the anger that might be in us is an anger, you might be really good at concealing it. You might be really good at hiding it. I know not everyone is. Some people are walking around and are always there storming and they're mad and they're, you know, they're doing whatever. But it's not true. You may, just because you're not always swearing or always flying off the handle, it doesn't mean that there might be some really deep anger in your life because of what happened in your past. And that's where anger really comes from. Any anger that's in our hearts is usually rooted in our past. It's because of some things that have happened to us. It's because of maybe what people have done to us or how we've been abused or how we've been neglected. Or sometimes it's not even what anyone's even done to us. It's just that we wake up one morning and we look at our lives and we go, I'm not very happy with my life. And the anger sometimes can start to stew inside of us. It can fester inside of us. And I believe, in my experience, when I see people falling back into that same sin or going back to that pit and jumping back into the pit again, I've seen it lots of times that the reason for that often is because it's couched in anger. There's an anger inside of them that hasn't been dealt with. There's an anger that has never been brought to the cross. They've never received that real forgiveness, and they've never been able to release that anger from inside of them. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens sometimes in people's lives is things are going poorly, or there's a brokenness, or this huge disappointment in their lives. And so they revert back to that anger that's still deep inside of them, and they go, well, then I'm just going to go drink. If that's what it's going to be like, well, forget it then. Now, you give me, and it's like, it's almost as if, and maybe it is as if, they're saying to God, I'll show you, you loving God. I'll teach you something, God. Where's the bottle? Let's go get the bottle. Where's my pipe? I'm going to show you. It's a response of anger. Really, if you look at it and you break it down, the root of this turning back and always giving the enemy this leverage back in our lives is that there's still anger in our lives, and that anger needs to be dealt with. It needs to be brought to the cross. And in some ways, it's almost like this anger is like a self-defense mechanism. We're getting hurt or things are not going well in our lives, and so we're biting back at God. You know, almost like I remember, you know, earlier this spring holding a little baby bird in my hand and, you know, trying to save it, which is hard to do. You know, how do you teach a bird to fly when you don't know how to fly yourself? But I held this little bird in my hand, and the bird was doing this, back, 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 right? Trying to bite the hand that was holding it, trying to do something to me, you know, doing, it was sort of a mechanism, right? Well, in some ways, I hope you're following me here. In some ways, that's kind of what we do. Life doesn't go good, or we get disappointed, or we get disillusioned, or we lose hope, and we almost like defy God and say, well, then I'll show you. Guess what, God? I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going back to the pit. Like, I know it doesn't make any sense. I know it's ridiculous that we would do such a thing, but it's in that context of anger that we do that, and we think that we're going to teach God a lesson. You know, it's so sad. It's so silly. So God's word says, don't be angry. Do not be angry. Except, that's not exactly what it says. It says, actually, don't let the sun go down while you're angry. And by the way, Elton John did not make that up. God made that up. Right. Don't let the sun go down on me. Don't let the sun go down. You know what? So let's understand this. God doesn't say, it doesn't say don't be angry necessarily. Sometimes we ought to be angry. Other times, you know, anger will do one of two things. God will either use anger to draw us closer to Him. There's a right kind of anger. There's an anger that leads to me seeking righteousness and seeking justice. There's another kind of anger that just gets me despondent and has me feeling self-pity and hopelessness. So it depends on what you do. Are you following this? It depends on what we do with the anger that's in us. And one thing for sure is we should not allow that anger to stay there very long. It needs to be dealt with. We need to go to the cross with it. But God can use anger to bring us to the cross. God can use anger to bring us to righteousness, and maybe even more importantly, to bring justice in the world. Chris Solomons was telling me that on Monday after the men's group had the Bible study, he was just blown away by this and just angry. He's not here today, so we can talk about him. But they left the meeting, and there's one particular little girl who's 11 or 12 years old, and she's just had a real special spot in Chris's heart, and we've been praying for her at our meetings on Sunday night and other things, and he said, it just killed me. So we went out the door after the meeting, and I saw this little girl, and she jumped in this old guy's truck and then just drove away. And he said, I've just been fuming ever since. You know, to that I say, good. We should be fuming. We should be angry. Maybe someone should pick up a rock and throw it through the guy's back window. Don't tell him I said that. But you know, I'm not saying, I don't know what to do. I don't have the answer. But I know it's okay to be angry. And sometimes we should be angry. We should be taking that guy's license number. And we should be talking to the work where he's working from. And we should be letting the world know that this is not acceptable. And we're not going to put up with this anymore. And that kind of anger can be a righteous anger. And it's what God wants of us. So it's not just don't be angry. It's know what the right kind of anger is. And know what you do with the anger that's inside of you. Bring it to the cross. You know, sometimes if you got an anger from your past, you got an anger because you were abused, or because your dad was a terrible dad, or for whatever the reason is, talk to somebody. Confess your sins, the Bible says. Confess your sins one to another. Talk to one another. Pray. Leave it at the cross. Leave it at the cross. Because here's the real message of Ephesians chapter 4. The whole heart of what Paul is saying is that we're not the same person anymore. When I accept Jesus into my life, when I am forgiven, when I have a new beginning, I am not that same old man anymore. I am a new creation. Ephesians 4, we didn't read it, but a few verses earlier it says that the old has passed away, right? And the new has come. Put off the old, he says. Put off the old and put on the new. You were created to be like Christ in righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. So, you know, that message, Anna, that message needs to get out there that you're not the same anymore. You're not that old guy anymore. You're a new creation, and you ought to live like it. It's time that we started living like it. And he gives us a pretty good example. He says, if you've been stealing, I love how practical this passage is. If you've been a thief, if you've been a kleptomaniac in your life, you have Christ now into your heart, you put off that old self, you put on a new self, and you steal no more. Did you hear that? Don't steal anymore. Whoever's been stealing must steal no longer. But you must work doing something useful with your own hands that you may have something to share with those who are in need. Isn't that great? You can't steal anymore. And really the question today, maybe your problem isn't stealing. Maybe it's something else. We've all got something, I think. And the question is, what is it? What is it that you can do no more? No more. What is it that you need to stop in your life? Because when you turn towards Jesus, you need to close the door to the enemy.
That's right.
You need to shut it off so that he has no foothold. He's got no crack in you that he can get his hand into that crack and get some leverage back into your lives. If you've stolen, steal no more. If you are drinking, drink no more. If you're worrying, worry no more. If your ambitions have been selfish, ambitions, don't have those kind of ambitions anymore. You need to walk in righteousness and holiness because you are a new creation.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
You're a new creation. The old is dead. The new has come. You're brand new. Live like it. And maybe that's the part that we haven't been saying clearly enough. Right? And I understand grace. And I know that we've always got to be there to pick people up and brush them off and say, you're going to be all right. But we also need to be clear about this. That if we're going to turn to Jesus, we got to turn away from our sin.
Right.
And we need to stop stealing.
Right.
We need to stop stealing. We need to follow Him. You know, God is so good. Thank you, God. Yeah. Amen. Angry with the devil. Angry for what he's doing. Angry for what he's stealing. Angry for those young lives that are being destroyed. I agree. I agree. And we are. And we are. Let me just make two quick points before we move on about this part, you know, where he talks about how we have to be a new creation. And that is, you know, that when the Word of God talks about this foothold, and this is really important for some of you who are new Christians, that the enemy gets a foothold in your life. the responsibility for the enemy getting that foothold falls directly on me. Okay? You can't blame this on Satan. You can't blame it. You can't say, well, this is God's will. God wants Satan to have this and this foothold. It's not what the word says. The word, he points it to us. He says, you do not let the enemy have this foothold. It is in our camp. We have the ability to shut that door. All right? And the second thing that he says, I think it's really important, is that he doesn't say, whoever has stolen should steal less. He doesn't, no, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, if you've stolen before, you should steal less than you did before, and that's pretty good. That isn't what it says. It says, if you have stolen, steal no more. You got to cut it off. You got to cut it off. It's got to be done forever. It's got to be finished in your life. You can't keep dabbling with it. And that's been the problem that many of us have had. We keep dabbling with it. We keep thinking that we can play with that line. We say, well, I know where that pit is. I got saved from that pit. And instead of staying as far from the pit as possible, we're kind of curious about it. And we get close to it and we go, oh, that's that old familiar lifestyle. It smells like the old lifestyle. It tastes like the old lifestyle. And before you know it, we fall back into that same pit again. If you have stolen before, you steal no more. And that's true for, you know, it's true for everything. I know it's easy to always talk about drinking and the pipe. It's true for gossip. If you've gossiped before, gossip no more. If you've slandered, slander no more. If you've used bad language, if you're cursing and it's always coming out of your mouth and, you know, you're not reflecting Christ. And it doesn't say, well, just curse less and God will be happy with you. It says, curse no more. No more. If you're prideful, if you think you're pretty good, you're a little arrogant, you think you're gifted, you're prideful, you know, and you're falling because of that, then stay humble and fall into that pride no more. This is such a practical teaching, isn't it? I mean, it's just black and white. And I love what he says about, you know, if you've used these hands for thievery before, you know, you pickpocket. Here, Don. Now you use these fingers for something for the kingdom. Now you use these hands for something that will be powerfully good instead of powerfully evil. And I love that. You know, in other words, we need to be active. We need to be doing something because one of the worst things that we can do is nothing at all. And honestly, here's a problem that a lot of people have. They come to Jesus and then they sit in their room and they don't do anything. They wear out their remote sitting in a lazy boy chair. And then next thing you know, they're going to the bar and they're pissing their lives away sitting at a bar stool and doing nothing. And the word says here, you know what, we got to be active. We need to be engaged. If you used to steal, use your hands now to build something good. Use your hands to maybe do something positive and to build. And so, you know what, I want to ask you that question today. What are you building in your life? What are you building? I think it's such a great question. And some of you think, well, you know, I'm not a builder. I'm not a builder. I'm a follower. I'm a cleaner. I'm not a builder. I'm something else. You know, Rick's a builder, and Alvin's a builder, and Ray's a builder, but I'm not a builder. You know what? You're wrong about that. You're a builder because you were created to be a builder. God put us in a garden, and who's got Genesis 2:15? Get it ready. God put us in a garden. God put us in the garden for a specific purpose because we're to be builders. We're to be people using our hands. We're to be people who are developing and who are enhancing and who are replenishing the earth. Who has that? Genesis 2:15. Who's got it? Yes. Santos. I'm asking him. Sorry. Do you have it or not? Oh, Spanish. Well, who, you got it? Go ahead, Jill.
Many people can give this, and thank you for that. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to take care of the garden, to keep it, to tend it, to work in it.
That's it. And I love those two words, that we're put in the garden to take care of it and to keep it. So, you know what? You're a builder. I'm a builder. We're to build together. We're to take what's broken and bring, you know, reconstruction to it. We're to be proclaiming this redemption of Jesus, you know, into people's lives. And I want you to think about what that means. What does it mean that you're a builder? How can you build hope into someone's life? Because that's what you're called to do. Right? And if you really want to talk about how do we get that enemy, and that's really the pointer today, how do we keep the enemy from getting that foothold in our lives? We do that not just by not doing a whole bunch of stuff. We do it by engaging the gifts we have in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And let's get that straight too, that we're not building our own kingdom. It's not about just building whatever you want to build. It's not just building your fortune or building 1,000 people on my Facebook account or whatever we do. Right? That's not the kind of building we're talking about. We're talking about building for the kingdom of Christ.
Amen.
We're talking about investing our time and our lives and our hands and our hearts to bring change and to build what's been broken down. And I want you to know this today and think about it. You know, how am I a builder? How am I a builder? Maybe I'm building a Bible study. That's one way you can build. Or maybe I'm building hope in someone's life. I'm investing myself in someone's life. I want them to have hope. I'm building life in someone's life. Maybe I'm building a ministry that is devoted to children who live in a very hopeless situation. But it's a builder. You're a builder in the kingdom of God. Andy. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, God. And, you know, a lot of you, let me just explain that. Christine came up to me a week ago and said that she's been diagnosed with cancer and she needed someone to, she's gone right now. She's going off to Mexico because there's a faith-based place there where she can get some treatment. And she wanted someone to pray with. And Andy and Karen have been, you know, gracious enough to meet with them and pray with them. And it's, you know what? It's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's not just what I'm talking about. It's what God's Word is talking about. It's about investing ourselves in other people's lives. It's about showing people that there is hope when they don't think that there is hope. There's so much that we can do with these hands. So much. Just go like that is a way to, right? We make a connection, right? And you welcome and you encourage, right? Here's what you can do with your hand. You can just bless. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I encourage you. Right? We can use our fingers to play an instrument. And by doing so, we're building worship. Right? You are, I hope you're getting this, and I don't know what kind of builder you are. You got to bring that up with God. But you are a builder. God put you on this earth for that reason, to take care and to replenish and to plant, right? To take care of the earth. You're a builder. You got to figure out. You got to ask God and find out where it is that building is going to take place. Some of us would do well to be better builders of our marriages or better builders as fathers or mothers of our families. Because that's one of the things we need to build. We need to build our family. We need to build the spiritual leadership in this church. We need to build our relationship with our sons and daughters. I'm giving you lots of examples, and I'm hoping, and I know there's probably 100 other ones. And again, like I said, I don't have the whole answer for you, but I'll tell you what God says in His Word today. He says, don't let the devil, it's up to you. It's up to you. Don't let the devil have a foothold in your life. And the way to do that is you stop doing what you've been doing. Just stop it. Quit it. And don't play around with it anymore. You need to be done with that in your life. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you've been clean or you've been done with this for a long time. But it's true for every sin. It's not just drinking or crack. It's true for pride. It's true for fear. It's true for everything. We need to be done with it and not dabble anymore.
Amen.
And He says this, and now use what I've given you. Use the gifts. Use the body. Build. You're a builder in the kingdom of God. And when you do that, you stand right in the face of the enemy. And you say, you know what, enemy? I don't care. I am building the kingdom of Christ. And you have nothing over me because you have no leverage in my life and you have no foothold. I give you no foothold because I belong to Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, that doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Because I'll tell you what, if you want to be a real builder in the kingdom of God, He's going to attack. He is going to attack. You'll have more people hating you. Oh boy, I could tell you some stories. You have more people hating you, more people slandering you, more people accusing you, but none of it's going to matter. None of it's going to matter. None of it's going to matter because you're doing this for the kingdom of Christ. Right? I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. And that's the only reason I'm doing it, is for Jesus. Yeah, amen. So don't think that if you're going to take these words to heart, you're going to start building, you're going to start investing in someone's life, or you're going to start a Bible study, you're going to start building hope that it's going to be easy. You're going to get attacked, but you have power over the enemy. Resist the enemy. And he just might flee from you? No. Resist the enemy, and he will. He will flee from you if you resist him. And we're mad. We're angry about the enemy. But we stand together. You know why? We need to stand together. We can't do this on our own. It's time for righteousness. It's time for holiness. And it's time for our anger to draw us back to the heart of our Father God. And then finally, these words from Ephesians 4. Again, I didn't read this. There's so much good in here. But listen to these words just a few verses earlier. Verse 15, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and, listen to this now, and builds itself up in love. Last words, as each part does its work. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we want to be builders of your kingdom. We want these hands to build you, Lord, and to promote you and to bless others, to encourage. We want to be able to welcome and be used by you, Lord, with the gifts that you give us. That every ligament, every part of the body grows together as each part does its own part, as each part plays the role it's supposed to. So thank you for that, God. We need you, O Lord, to give us the willpower that we can't muster up ourselves. We know that nothing that we can do is going to work. It needs to be what you do in us, but that you wait on us to work and to open the door and to resist the enemy. And I thank you, God, that you're so powerful and you're so great and that you will give us victory. And there are many, many here who will attest to that. Victory over smoking, victory over drugs, victory over adultery, victory over pornography, victory over lust, victory over spending. God, whatever it is, you'll give us that victory. But we need to stop it and we need to start using our hands to build the kingdom of God. That's your word, Lord. We take it to heart today. And I pray, God, that you'll just work that message, work that truth inside of us, Lord. And mostly, Father God, I just pray right now that as we seek you, that you'll open our eyes to see what our gifts are and what we're capable of doing and how we can labor for the kingdom. I thank you, God, for our everyday jobs and that we don't look at work like it's an awful thing to do. But we know that the work and the jobs that we have are a way of worshiping you and a way of glorifying you and a way of contributing to the good name of Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that. And I pray that you will find us faithful as laborers, as planters, and as harvesters in your vineyard, in your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God. That applause is for God, right? We've got to make sure that's got to be what happens here. We give God the glory. Thank you, God. Man, I'm so thankful for you guys. I came here hurting. Just, you know how it is sometimes. You just come and you feel like you've been beaten up by life and you get tired of what people are saying about you, or you get tired of it all. And even what Larry was saying, some of that sticks to you after a while. You get this hopelessness. You know, what is the point? Well, maybe I should just convince Crystal that we should go south for the winter. That'll never happen. She's never coming along, right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't go south, but God wants me to be here, and he wants us all to be encouraged. And to know, you know, you're not doing this on your own. We do this together, and we are the body of Christ. And there's a minute or two here, a few minutes, if there's, you know, if you really think God's been saying something that needs to be said, then here's a good time to do that. Maybe all's been said. No, Kim. Yes.
And you know, I'm supposed to be this big woman of faith, and here I was. You know, I was weak. And so I said, you know, he brought the picture when Jesus was in the ship.
Yeah.
And the storm was raging. These were seasoned fishermen. And what did Jesus do? He was sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, and Richard was down. I'm sorry, Richard, but I can't see who you are because I don't trust you. I don't trust you, God. You're too aggressive of a driver. But then the Lord said to me, okay, you can't trust Richard. Can you trust me?
Amen.
And then I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. How do I trust you? And he said, why do you think Jesus is here? Because he knew. Because he was close to you.
Mm. Amen. Yes.
You know, my daddy is there for me to pick me up whenever I need to be picked up. And he pats me on the back whenever I need to be patted.
Yes.
And tells me, don't give up. I'm here with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, draw closer to him.
Amen. How many of us, how many of us need that today? You know, that he pats us on the back, right? Dave, and then Linda. Did you hear that? He said, when we move from the old to the new, and I think you mean the old life to the new life, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness, we need to not leave a forwarding address.
Amen.
Amen. And Linda, you got the last word today. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Praise God. He is always there for us. And Linda, just, you know what, I encourage you to keep being the builder that you are. You're a great example. That's what we're talking about, is what God's Word's about. You keep building. You keep building your relationship with Jesus, and you keep building those boys. Yeah. You know? And you keep building that little girl of yours. Keep building. Keep building. Now, this is a song that is new. I only heard it on Friday. I've heard it before, but so it's going to be a little raw, but that's okay. We're just family. So, yeah, a few more people can come and help. No one's done this before, but this song really says what I think that we need to hear today. So let me sing it a little bit at first, and then I'll ask you to stand, and we'll worship God together with this song. This time, this place is set apart. I stand amazed at who you are. I'm overcome by what you've done. Oh, I'm here right now. I need you now. I lift your name above the ground. It's my offering for you, for you. 'Cause it's all for you. All for you. Every heart will proclaim, every tongue will shout your praise, all for you. Oh, oh, all for you. Oh, oh, oh. I need my burden at your feet. In you I find my victory. There is nothing you can't do. Oh, I live my life in glory now. I'll give it all and lay it down. Cause I owe everything to you, to you. Cause it's all for you. Let's stand. All for you. Every heart will proclaim. Every tongue will shout your praise. All for you. I stand amazed at who you are. I'm overcome by what you've done. Oh, I'm here right now. I need you now. I lift your name above the dust. My offering for you, for you. I give all for you. All for you. Every heart will proclaim. Every tongue without your praise, all for you. Oh, 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 all for you. Oh, 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 oh. I lift my burden at your feet. In
victory. There is nothing you can't do. I'll live my life in your town. I'll give it all and lay it down. Follow everything for you. Cause it's all for you. All for you. Every heart will proclaim. Every time you got your praise, all for you. Oh, oh, all for you. Oh, oh, what is all for you? All for you. Every heart will proclaim. Every song will shout your praise, all for you. This place is set apart. I stand amazed at who you are. I'm overcome by what you've done. Oh, I'm here right now. I need you now. I lift your name above and above. My offering for you, for you. Cause it's all for you. All for you. Every heart will proclaim. Every song will shout your praise. All for you. Oh, oh, all for you. Oh, oh, oh. I'm seeing you burn and not to see. In you I'll find my victory. There is nothing you can't do. Oh, I live my life in your renown. I give it all and lay it down. I owe everything to you, to you. I give it all for you. All for you. Sing it. Every heart will proclaim. Every tongue will start to obey. All for you. Every time we sing your praise, all for you.
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. If today you've been challenged by God that there's something that you need to stop, something's got to stop, no more, then you're welcome to just come forward for prayer. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to purge that from your life. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. I'm losing my glasses. Do it again.
This time, this place is set apart. I stand amazed at who you are. Overcome by what you've done. Oh, I'm here right now. I need it now. I lift your name above God. It's my offering for you, for you. But it's all for you, all for you. Every heart will proclaim, every tongue shall your praise. I need my purpose to be. Who I find my victory. There is nothing you can't do. Oh, I need my life in your renown. I'll give it all and lay it down. Follow everything to you. Feel, cause it's all free. Every heart will complain. Every tongue will shout your fame. All free. Every heart will proclaim, every tongue will shout your praise. All for you. Oh, all for you.
Gotta figure out how to end it. Huh? Hey, girl. I have heard it on Shine FM. That's where I got it from. Isn't that good? When I heard it, I thought, oh man, that's a song we gotta learn.